Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, we're going to have a great show because the person that I have, her name is Sarah Weissman. She's an author and an intuitive, but we're going to be talking about intuitive children because she's written a book called Your Psychic Child, How to Raise Intuitive and Spiritual Gifted Kids of All Ages, meaning yourself, too, by the way. So, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Nancy. It's my pleasure.
You're very welcome. Now, Sarah, before we talk about your book, let's talk a little bit about you and your journey, because yours didn't start, well, it may have started when you were young, but you really had your awakening, you know, when you were a little older. So let's talk about that so people understand that they're really not alone.
Oh, yes, thank you. And it's so true. As I've come through this journey myself, every time I turn a corner, I meet somebody else my age or younger or older who's going through the journey right now, too. So it's a very common occurrence nowadays. I'm not sure. You know, looking back, I was certainly, my parents might have called me creative or imaginative. And certainly I was spiritual, but I don't have any sense that I was ever intuitive or psychic. And in 2000, I had a near-death experience, which, as I'm sure listeners know, those tend to, you know, shake things up quite a bit for most people. And my experience, a lot of times when people have a near-death experience, they'll instantly become intuitive and all this great stuff happens. But for me, it was just like, no, that it just was kind of a downward moment. It wasn't very pleasant. And then in 2004, I saw or received my first spirit guide as an apparition, which was very shocking to me, out of my comfort zone, something I didn't even believe in, really, so it was pretty different, and then sort of started to open up to different spiritual practices, and 2008, I had an immense, I call it receiving, of divine messaging or spiritual teachings from three guides. Completely unexpected, and this is the information I received is called the 33 Lessons. It's about 120 pages, and during the receiving of that in writing, all my intuition, it just opened up. So it was kind of like this 3 or 4 month period where every day more was opening, and it was quite a 3 to 4 months. It was quite a transforming experience. So at the time, I had 4 kids at home, I think. Maybe one had already gone. And as my own intuition opened, I turned around and looked at these kids of mine and realized, oh, my gosh, they have this already. And then I looked at every other kid on the block and at the soccer field, and I thought, this is a whole generation of kids who have these abilities. And that's when I decided to write that particular book.
You know, I think it's real important, Sarah, that people understand that these children are very, very psychic, very gifted, very intuitive, and they're having, in my opinion, a very hard time in the world today because a lot of us are open, but there's still a lot that have not. And so they will misdiagnose these children, and they will tell them that, you know, they're different, they're weird, they can't focus, they don't know what they're doing. So they label them with ADD, ADHD, some of them even being told that they have autism. And mm-hmm. I think it's very wrong because, mm-hmm. to me, all of these children that are very psychic, very gifted, need to be nurtured, and they actually are here to teach us, but yet us as adults go look at them and go, well, we're the parent. We know better. And in reality, we don't. And so, uh-huh. I think it's real important that people understand that. So, you know, your awakening came late. Mine came real early. I had a really freak accident when I was 6 years old. Uh-huh. And with that accident, I landed with my head and neck under my back. So by all rights, I should be dead or paralyzed, and I'm neither one. But what happened is that my psychic ability opened up, and I started hearing voices, a beautiful angel voice that guided me all the way through my life, you know, uh-huh. And I listened. And the thing that was strange about it is that they protected me so much, they really wouldn't allow me to tell people what I knew. Uh-huh. And they didn't do that until I was in high school. And I, you know, what was in a car accident, that they actually showed a whole video before it was going to happen as to what was going to happen on the other side of the hill if it wasn't changed. Uh-huh. And what was going to happen is we were all going to die. You know, so they've saved my life several times. But, you know, people get these visions and they get these voices and they hear different things and they come at different times. And a lot of people think that they're weird or strange or crazy. And so it's important that we don't pass that down to the children, because we're not weird, strange, or crazy. We're just a little bit advanced more than some others. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think a couple of things. I think it's definitely not weird, strange, or crazy for adults or for kids. It's really that evolution-wise, the way I see it is, as the human race, we've evolved, not everyone, but we've evolved to a different ability of seeing beyond what I call like the layers and levels of, you know, present reality. We just are able to see and hear past Earth reality into these other etheric realms. So it's, you know, just like we got dialed up or something, just like everything comes in stronger than it used to a couple decades ago or a couple generations ago. I definitely agree about the ADD and the ADHD. I'm certainly not an expert on any of that. The book that I wrote was written really for parents of pretty mainstream, everyday kind of kids who were showing the abilities. But in my own practice, I've worked with some amazing autistic kids, and we've been able to have, you know, peer telepathy. It's been extraordinary, mm-hmm. extraordinary. And again, that's not what I specialize in, but I definitely believe that these particular groups of kids have just very different communication styles, and they're almost ahead of the world as opposed to being what some people might consider behind it. And then the other thing I want to just make clear is, you know, you and I both had near-death experiences, but that's certainly not required either for adults or for kids to open your intuitive abilities. I do so much training of people across the nation, actually, and my feeling at this point is really, if you want to open your intuitive abilities, all you have to do is have that desire, and the universe will come down and organize things so that that starts to happen. So near-death experience, while useful, is not necessarily required. We don't want people going out trying to have those. Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of people who think that something major has to happen to them for them to wake up, and that really isn't true. I mean, I read your book, Your Psychic Child. The reason why I was interested in interviewing you, Sarah, is because whether you know, you may know or not know, I actually have a purpose that I am here to do, and that is to open a school. And this school is for children that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, problem children, children that don't fit the bell curve, and then intuitive children, they're just outright bored with the same old antiquated education system that we have. So that's where my whole thing has been, and I actually moved from Illinois to New Mexico in order to do that. So, you know, your book was very interesting to me, mostly because I know that there are many, many children out there who have got all of these abilities and are trying to wake up, and depending on what family they're in, makes it easy or difficult, or what situation they're in as far as school goes makes it easy or difficult. So your book was very, very good. And the thing is really funny about your book, Your Psychic Child, you don't have to be a child in order to do some of the practices that you put in your book. You know, so when I introduced you, that's why I said you can be any age, basically, and get a lot of good information so that they can help wake up their own intuition and their own gifts that they have. Because really, I think everybody has them, just at different levels.
Yeah, and different clusters of abilities. So if a person's really visual, then they may be more likely to be a really great clairvoyant or do psychic seeing. If they're more a language person, they may be a channel or a receive clairaudiently. It's kind of like whatever your natural regular gifts are, those are often mirrored by where your intuitive abilities tend to cluster, is what I've noticed. And definitely the book is filled with exercises for the parents, really. It's meant as a handbook for parents who are noticing something's different with my child, and I'm not sure what it is, but instead of, at least what happened in my day was, instead of not even having vocabulary to discuss intuition or spirituality with kids, you know, back then it just wasn't discussed, and so parents today, even if they aren't aware of their own intuitive abilities, they definitely want to support their kids, you know, and help them move forward. So I wanted to make sure the exercises were just simple, like anyone could do it, just pick it up. And as you know, doing this kind of work and energy, it changes everything. It's not just an exercise. It's a whole, it's a whole shift.
It changes a lot of things. Now, your psychic child, was that your first book, or was Writing the Divine your first one?
My first book was Writing the Divine, and that contains all of the divine messaging I received. Yeah, it's kind of my story, and then Your Psychic Child, and then I've got a third book, Becoming Your Best Self, which is an intuitive handbook for personal growth coming out. That's next year, so working away.
if somebody wanted to get your books, how would they get them?
Well, they're on Amazon, just Sarah Wiseman, that should search, or they can go to my website, sarahwiseman.com, and be fully linked back to Amazon, or they can go to the publisher, Llewellyn. Any of those ways will work.
Now, you also do not only intuitive readings, but you do intuitive training, and you have your own radio show, so how would people find your radio show?
Oh, my radio shows, it starts in September, so we're just about a month and a half out, but that's going to be on Contact Talk Radio, and if you just Google that, you'll find that. And then for intuitive services and training, just go to my website, sarahwiseman.com. And I do have a website, kind of a secondary, called Your Psychic Child, which has a nice little quiz for parents to take to see where their child's abilities might tend to cluster. Some people might want to do that.
Sarah, with you talking with people about their children, do you find that a lot of parents want their children to be this great psychic or this great, you know, clairvoyant child? I mean, is it like they want them to be like that, or are they just searching to try to help themselves understand why their child sometimes is so hard to deal with?
Yeah, that's just wonderful, wonderful question. I do occasionally get not just parents of kids, but adults too, who I sometimes call them, they want to be, you know, spiritual overachievers and want all the skills and want them right now, and that's fine. But what I've noticed is the divine kind of gives us what we can handle when we're ready to handle it, and not a lot before. So I feel that the opening of people comes in manageable stages, for the most part, you know, with the exception of these big, you know, near-death experiences and that. But mostly if someone's undertaking training, things come in stages and steps. That's one reason the book is full of a lot of things like, let your kid be a kid and make sure they go to soccer or whatever their particular interest as a kid is. It's the worst thing to do if you had a psychic child would be say, okay, meditation for 8 hours today. No soccer for you. They got to be kids too. It's the whole child. All the aspects of the child need to be explored.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of parents and stuff. And because they know I'm doing this school, I run across a lot of them who want their children to be really psychic. And it's like, what can I do to, you know, help them be psychic? You know, do they have to practice and practice and practice? You know, the typical questions that you just answered. And I agree with you. They need to be children. Being children is going to open them up even more for them to go outside, play, touch earth, touch the ground. You know, look at the animals, play, you know, stuff like that I think is very, very important. In your book, you also talked about how you're not opposed to children with the video games and the computers as a learning technique.
Yeah, and that was weird for me because as a parent myself, so my kids are somehow they're on this 5-year apart or more family plan, So don't ask me how that happened. But so I had a lot of different kind of like, I had four only children sort of, and over, so my youngest now is 11 and my oldest now is 28. So they were a little bit younger when the book was written. But so I've really seen how technology has come through in the last couple decades. And my feelings about technology, I used to be no TV, you know, no video games, very anti. But now what I've noticed is that in intuition, a lot of the ways that we receive, it's very similar to how, you know, your computer works or how your smartphone works. We're sending intuitive information or receiving it wirelessly with energy, same way as we do in a computer. So like, if I'm teaching someone intuition and they're seeing some kind of vision in their mind, I might say, ask their vision to show them more. And it's almost like a Google click for more information. You're just going deeper and deeper into the information field. So it's interesting to me how technology is kind of training our brains to work, to communicate wirelessly. And intuition also teaches our brain to gather information, I guess, wirelessly. So I'm completely against violence. That's not good for kids. But in terms of just using computer as a tool of finding information, I think that's a pretty useful thing, and it's really tied into how intuition works too.
Yeah, a lot. It's really funny because a lot of the people that I have interviewed have always, you know, talked about how they were just kind of messing around with their computer. All of a sudden, they started being channeled things through their computer.
Yes,
and
right.
It surprised them and amazed them. You know, so a lot of people, you know, wrote their books that way, which is what I did in computers, and I really don't get along. They do these weird things, except when I wrote my book, it cooperated totally, you know, because I wasn't doing it, apparently. But, you know, so I'm not opposed to, you know, the children with their video games and the computers, because a lot of the stuff that they have out now in the market for the computers and video games are actually very much educational for them, and it is more advanced. Like, Mattel came out with a toy recently, and it's to help children. They can't say this because they're not, you know, they're not medical, but their salespeople can, is the way it works. But their toy is made to help children quiet their mind. You know, like the children with ADD and ADHD, how their mind is like going and going and going. So this toy, what you do is you put this like band on your head, and it has some codes in it that when it's sitting above your third eye, as your mind quiets, if, say, for example, it's a car, it actually starts to move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a similar, it's an older program. It used to be called, I think, Wild Design, and you would have to quiet your mind to, like, unlock the secret gate, and, you know, and the calmer you got, the more things you could have happen. Yeah, those are wonderful tools.
And it is, and they aren't, like I said, they can't really promote it for children with ADD, ADHD or anything, but their salespeople are actually promoting it like that, and they're showing how it works, which is real good, because children are very, very, you know, into making things work without doing a lot of motion today.
Right.
You know, so that would actually be good. Also, in your book, you talked about the different colors of indigo children. So maybe let's talk about that a little bit, so people can understand their children a little bit better.
Yeah, I think what I remember talking about in the book was the idea that indigo was sort of our first understanding that a new style of child was arriving into the world. So that was several decades ago, and some of the characteristics of indigo were pretty particular. And then other people started exploring this and had different names, such as crystalline or whatever. And so there began to be some specific categories in terms of if you were born in this decade, you were an indigo. If you were born here, you're a crystal or whatever it was. And I think when I looked at all that, and then looked at where we were today and just experientially from what I saw and the messaging that I was receiving, it felt to me that so many kids were intuitive now or spiritually gifted that we didn't even need a new, we didn't need a new term. Like, we didn't need, like, the purples or some other name. It's just sort of the status quo going forward. So that was my feeling there.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people think, see, I don't particularly like labels of any kind.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, they want to label them as indigo, crystal, star seed, you know, star children in general. And to me, it's just the different evolutions that we're going through. And
yeah.
A lot of what they consider indigo, those people have been here for a long, long time, you know, and they just kind of put a word to it. So I'm really not into the labeling. I just think gifted children, you know, psychic children, spiritual children, all of that is much better terms than, you know, label them with what color they're supposed to be according to their aura.
Yeah, yeah. And now I'm not a great aura seer, but my son sees auras clearly, like, all day long. And he tells me, like, people's auras, you know, it's not like you just have one aura for your life. Your aura changes throughout the day as your energy shifts.
All the
time. So how would, you know, I'm a purple to a black, or, you know, purple to green, what is my aura? So I think it's good to, the fewer labels in general that we can manage to get away without having, the, seems like the more we can be in the concept of that we're all one.
Yeah, and how we really works. Are. It's just, you know, we've been made to believe that we're not.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the awakening going on is really letting people know that we are all one. And the more they accept that, the faster their growth will end up being.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, it's almost like just that concept, if you really look at it, can be the start of a complete consciousness shift for people who haven't, you know, really understood or really looked at that concept before. It's the whole enchilada right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key, just looking at that and saying, well, what does that mean? We're all one. But I'm separate, but I'm one. Huh. And just tossing that around in your mind a bit and seeing where it leads you.
There are a lot of children out there who actually can see things way before us as adults do.
Yeah.
And yet those children, again, are told that they're not, you know, meeting the standards, or they're not fitting into what they're supposed to fit into. And again, I have a problem with all of that. What do you think about, like, the schools now? Let's just pick on them a little bit. What about the schools are trying to fit all of these spiritually gifted children into a one mold, fit all type situation?
You know, it's a huge struggle. I feel, I'm out in Oregon, and I'm sure everywhere across the nation, the school districts are having trouble. It just seems like the school model is so antiquated. It's so out of date for what the needs not only of the kids are, but what the needs of society is. But, you know, this whole structure's been set up, and we don't know how to you know, get out of it. So some people try, you know, private schools, which is their own good and pro and con. Some people homeschool. It's the same thing. I think that an entirely new approach has to happen, and it's just a challenge to find. What I do with my little group here is one goes to a charter school. One goes to a private school after trying pretty hard to make the public school situation work, and it just didn't. Another one went to public school and did fine. And then we do just enrichments, but mostly we just do sitting around and talking and being with them to kind of fill in the gaps that the schools can't provide. So it's like at home now, three different kids, three different schools to sort of fit what they need, as opposed to trying to have the schools fit what the kids need, as opposed to having the kids try and be plugged into this is the school and this is how you have to be.
And the school that I'm putting together, it's not built yet, but I'm putting it together. I have the land for it, but I have to raise the funds. The school, when the parents bring their child or children, the entire family will have a numerology chart done, an astrology chart done, in a consultation with me, so that we actually kind of know every facet of that child, who they are, what level they're at, you know, and just kind of sum it all up like that. And then what happens is they will be put into compatible classrooms with no more than 15 students per class, not based upon age, you know, like grades or age, but based upon who that child is and, again, at what level they're at and what their interest is. So it's a different concept altogether, and people are going, you can't do that. And it's like, yes, I can. So,
yeah,
you know,
good.
So that's part of it. And then the classes themselves are only run at like 20, 25-minute increments, you know, before they get a break, because children have a very hard time right now sitting there for an hour listening to the same old, and expected to totally focus. So they'll have breaks all day long. And some of it's a live-in school, some of it is a day school. You know, so it's different kind of combination of everything to help that child. And then once a month at the school when it's done, there will be a special instructor that comes in that maybe teaches, you know, helping your intuition grow, or meditation, or, you know, anything in the medical, in the metaphysical field. For a whole week, the school will be taught. And then after that instructor leaves, the school will continue to practice. And the children that are drawn to that will practice it. And the children that are drawn to something else will practice to something else.
Well, it's interesting because I have complete back chills when you're talking about your school. And that surprises me because I don't have any, you know, I have no millions of dollars to give you. I don't have, you know, but it's just like, it just seems like, yeah, this is the way to look at it too. And I liked what you said about those who are drawn, practice that, and those who aren't, do what they're drawn to, because the idea of having an intuitive or spiritually gifted child is not necessarily to have them, you know, be doing psychic readings. Some kids are equally intuitive, but they're receiving information like in, you know, design or inventing or medical. It's like it doesn't just come in as reading information. It comes as all kinds of information that the universe is kind of providing to these kids.
Yeah, and this school is actually designed for children K through high school, and when it's finished, it will accommodate 500 students.
Wow.
350 of them being live-in, which means they can come from all over the world, and 125 that are local children. So it's a variety, which is really important because children need to meet other children from other parts of the world to find out that they're not horrible because their skin is a different color or they have a different belief. So it really is made to encompass a lot of things that have not been even addressed, let alone thought of being addressed by the normal school system. I'm all excited trying to get it done and doing all kinds of stuff to raise the money to do it. But I think that's really, really important. And when I was reading your book, it's funny because you had Dr. Meg's comments there a lot. And the end of April, beginning of May, I actually did a huge conference, and Dr. Meg was one of the guest speakers.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman. Yeah, she's fantastic. Really great.
Yeah, she was really good. You know, so in your book, let's talk more about your book. Let's talk about this one. It's called Your Child, Your Psychic Child, How to Raise Intuitive and Spiritual Gifted Children of All Ages. So you talk about, there's a chapter in your book, if you know, if you remember, you talk about why home matters. Can you explain a little bit why home would matter to these psychic children?
Thank you for allowing me to speak on that. The kids that are sensitive are sensitive to everything in their environment. And so this would include, you know, the way you have your home organized, all of the aspects of the old concepts of feng shui, the way the energy flows in the house, even the objects that are in your child's room or anywhere in their house, they have an energy and a vibration that your child can pick up on. And so sometimes we get these things in our home that are like, you know, we get our grandma's table, and that might be a beautiful vibration for your home if you got along well with your grandma. But if your grandmother was, you know, sometimes families have difficult paths, then that object is still containing that energy or that karma or whatever it is. And you may have forgotten about it, but your child can sense basically everything. Or if you're getting a lot of plastic stuff made, in factories that the conditions are horrible, your child, almost by touching this object, a lot of these sensitive kids can be transported to those factories right there in those poor working conditions. And so it's really important that you kind of take a look at all your objects and all your electronica, is the term that is used a lot that I used, and make sure the energy is what I would call clean or comforting or high vibration, because it all affects your child. Like at our house, actually we don't have a TV anymore, but when we used to have a TV, it was only in this one little room downstairs, whereas I know nowadays a lot of people just have these giant TVs, you know, in their main room, and that creates a different kind of energy for the house, to have that be kind of like the center, whereas if you created, say, an altered space for your child in the home, or you helped your child create an altered space in his or her room with some, you know, significant objects, it creates the idea of sanctuary and of being sacred, and that allows your child to relax into his or her essence, whereas if the space is crowded and distracted and full of clutter and full of electronica, your child can't get to that core essence as easily.
That's one of the things in the school I'm doing. It's actually made out of 19 monolithic domes, and
wanted
it in domes because of that energy flow. See, the whole thing has actually been channeled to me, so I kind of have to follow it. But I had chosen domes from age, I think I was about 10, that sometime in my life I was going to have a dome home, because when I walked into this dome, it was like this energy was just great. There was no ending, a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
So this is designed out of 19 monolithic domes, so that the energy constantly is flowing.
Yeah.
And in the background, very low, will be music playing all the time. Now, I also know that you are a songwriter and a singer. So how important is it for these children with music?
Well, I do admit, I'm kind of like, let your kids be mainstream and have them be this other core essence way. So, you know, the teenagers and preteens now, like if we're in the car, they'll listen to, you know, I don't even know who Justin Bieber or Black Eyed Peas or whatever, and it's pretty, you know, rap or pop, and that's fun. But we also do music here. My partner, Dr. Steve Koch, is an amazing chiropractor, sound energy healer, and multi-instrumentalist, and so he's created a series of, we're now on our fourth CD, of healing music to relax, help kind of kids trance, go to sleep, and then we have a couple that are more for high energy, for dancing, kind of releasing the chakras, and I'm the vocalist. So it just seems that music can shift that energy, the right kind of music can shift the energy to either create the place and the space for relaxation, meditation, receiving, or to just, you know, sometimes you just got to release stuff, and dancing is a wonderful way for kids to get that out. The slower stuff like that, trance, that light trance vibration is just a really lovely way to make it through your day with that kind of always on in the background.
Did you say Dr. Bill Koch? Is that what I heard?
Oh, no, Dr. Steve Koch.
Okay. Only because I asked about Bill Koch is because I'm interviewing him next week.
Oh, yeah, so it's a similar sound. No, Dr. Steve Koch.
Okay.
And our band is Martyrs of Sound. And you can get, if you go to my website, there's free, I think there's some free song downloads, and you can listen to everything. And it's all very, it's hoping it all works when you get to the website.
I'm sure work really well. I listened to them. Yes. They're actually pretty good. So give out your website again, please, and how people can get a hold of you and get in touch with you in case they want to have some intuitive readings or intuitive training.
Yes, it's sarahweisman.com, and even if you misspell it, it'll start to come up. And there's free ebooks, free songs, and then there's information about all my services, intuitive readings, intuitive trainings. And I do prefer, even though I have this focus on kids, in the sessions, I prefer to work with the parents because it feels to me like the parents are the best teachers. Or if there's a teenager, that might be okay as long as I cleared everything with the parents. For younger kids, definitely, if there's something people want to discuss, I want to work with the parents. Not the child. That just seems to be what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, again, I'm sure it is because you're following it pretty well according to what I'm seeing. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the kids in general because sometimes in your book, for example, it talked about the kids and being in trance and how trance works for kids. Can you explain maybe how that will help them?
Yeah, I think The way that I look at it is that when we go to gather intuitive information, we want to go into a light trance. And we want to go into a light trance, which is only just a little bit, a few steps away from kind of Earth reality. What happens for a lot of adults and even kids is that they'll start going into trance, either through music or breathing or laying on the ground or however they're doing it. And then they'll, instead of going just a few layers or levels up, they'll go like 8 million layers or levels up, kind of be astral projecting, floating around, having, you know, just in these places where you can't gather information clearly. And so the idea that I found, it's like there's this psychic sweet spot where you want to go, and it's not very far away from present Earth reality, like your normal interactions with people. And so in intuitive training, often I'll just take people into this little, like, three steps up from Earth reality, and they'll be like, I'm not in trance. I'm like, oh, yeah, you are. It's just a lighter version because you can work more effectively there. And especially for kids, they can go in and out of trance like, you know, 80 times in a day, and it's just because they're going into this lighter trance state where they gather the psychic information, come back to Earth reality, head out again. But the idea you want to avoid is this shooting way off into the universe where we can't use our language or our cognizant skills there. There's no language way out there. We want to bring it down to a more gentle, manageable level. I think that's what I wanted to say.
Does the meditation also work for children?
Yeah. I mean, I think like what you said about at your school, having the 20-minute increments instead of an hour, I think a parent should, if meditation works for a child, you know, 10 minutes is enough to, 10 minutes a day will transform your life. If you've got a really wiggly child, maybe you want to put music on and they kind of, you know, roll around on the floor with their eyes closed. If you've got a super physical child, maybe you take them walking in nature, and that also creates trance, that rhythmic walking motion. So you do not want to just say, sit in lotus position and you'll be here for an hour. That may be way too much for some wiggly kids, or take it in stages, a little bit, you know, a couple minutes when they're little. Show them yourself as example. By teenagers, they could be in trance for a couple hours just on their own, and that would be a skill they could do easily, but not for little kids.
One of the domes that will be at the school is a meditation dome. That will be open for whomever, whenever they want to go in and just do their thing in there. So That's why I ask about meditation and all that stuff. One thing you have in your books that your psychic child, is you have questions that parents have asked, and you give really very good answers to that. And I think when people read your book and they read some of those questions, a lot of them are going to be able to relate to them probably a lot more than they think. So, because a lot of parents have these children and yet they do not believe that they are psychic whatsoever. But I really don't believe that that would be totally true. So, what's your take on the parents who have the psychic children but they themselves don't think they have psychic ability?
Yeah, well, I like the idea that we all, you know, choose the family we come into. I think that's probably true. So those kids are there, you know, there must be some grand plan. To me, it's kind of heartbreaking. That kind of reminds me of the old ways, like when you and I were growing up, when there wasn't support for the abilities. What I find happens, though, is that if a parent's just like, psychic abilities are wrong and my kid doesn't have them, that's one thing. If a parent's like, something different's going on and I don't know anything about it and I'm a little bit afraid of it, that's the kind of parent who's in a really good position to support their child. Even if they don't know much, they can educate themselves. That kind of parent can provide beautiful support. And then what I find is say somebody gets the book and starts doing the exercises with their child, what I find happens is that the parents start to open intuitively while they're doing the exercises, too. And they're like, oh, I get it. They've got these really stubborn cases of the parents who are, like, completely, you know, not into believing it. I just send them energy, and the divine really needs to deal with that, not me. You know, it's like things will come around over time. Opening is the place we're all going. Opening is where we're being led.
Yeah, also in your book, there's a chapter that has abilities in it. And you talk about the clairsentient, the clairaudient, clairvoyant, channeling, and channeled writing, mediumship, and then the SAKs, as you call them, spiritually advanced kids. So not every child is going to have every one of those abilities, just like an adult doesn't usually. I mean, they do, but they don't always have to have every one of those abilities. Is that true?
Yeah, it's more like I think probably it's more like you think of these are my core strengths. Like, say, one teenage girl I worked with recently was a fantastic medium, just, you know, seeing the departed, able to communicate with them, really, really gifted. And yet channeled writing was something that just didn't click for her. We tried it a little bit. It's like that just didn't work for her. Other kids, you know, they might be clairsentient, which is they feel everything, but maybe mediumship is going to come along for them later, but it might be a little too frightening or too much for them. It hasn't happened in their development yet. So the goal is not to click off on all the boxes and say you've got them all. The goal is just to kind of know where you're more apt to have a primary skill. And same for adults, same thing. Like, we don't know. I don't know of anybody who has everything at the same strength.
It would be really hard if you had them all at the same strength at the same time, because that would mean you'd be in a constant state of everything.
Yeah, you kind of don't. It's like it's too much to have everything. It's really better to have, like, use this lens for this and then put on another lens to look at it that way and have a little protection from all the information coming in all at once. I agree.
What do you think about the children being given Ouija boards as a gift?
Ooh, okay. Well, I am very much against anything that goes to the dark side. And in my opinion, Ouija boards are dark. I don't know why. They're just boards with letters. But I think they come from a tradition that used them for dark reasons. And I just don't think they're appropriate for kids in that format. However, like, I allow my kids to use tarot cards, like decks that are, you know, lighter rather than darker, and I think that's brilliant. That's really helpful to them. So I think, and even I'll use a pendulum sometimes, but my kids have not wanted to use pendulums, and that tells me something a little bit like, huh, so here are these really advanced children, and they don't want to use pendulum. Is pendulum dark? Is pendulum light? Is a pendulum neutral? I don't know, but that's showing me the question around some of the older systems, I guess. I'm against anything like the vampires, the goth stuff, all of this, you know, psychic head spinning in the movies. It's like, no, just keep them clear of all of that. It's really, the way to think of it is more like, you know, it's spirituality. It's a spirituality practice, not a dark practice.
Yeah, I agree with you totally on the Ouija boards. I think they're the worst things that they sell. And it's the worst thing a parent can do is get their 16-year-old daughter a Ouija board for her birthday.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. In fact, I had one other gal who was getting into Ouija boards and kind of like spells and things, sort of Wicca stuff. And her mom so brilliantly brought, we had a session, we had a couple sessions, and I talked to this girl about dark and light. And it's like she hadn't even heard that there was a discernment. And when she came back to the next session, instead of having, you know, like black nails and this sort of weird amulet around her neck, she was totally cleaned up, looked happier than I'd ever seen her, and had like a little, I don't know, angel necklace or something really light. And she'd completely shifted to focus on the light, and her mom was just ecstatic, you know. And I think mainstream culture gets us this goth stuff, this dark stuff, as if it's normal, and it's not normal, and it's not healthy.
No, yeah. And I totally agree with all of that.
Yeah.
Now, one of your chapters, you talk about divine ritual, and we only have probably about 5 minutes left before the show's over, so maybe go into that a little bit so the people who are listening can understand what that's all about, because when people hear the word ritual, they automatically assume that you're doing some kind of witchcraft thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure divine ritual, as I see it, is it's the lightest of the light. It's more like celebration with meaning. So having an altered space with your child in which you put up a flower and some beautiful statue that your child loves and, you know, maybe some pictures of everyone in the family, that's a beautiful divine ritual that helps your child to understand all the connections in his or her life. If a child has a problem and they need to get rid of it, to write it down on paper and, like, help them tear up the paper and, you know, spread it to the wind, or not littering, but you get the idea. You know,
so I have them burn it is what I have them do.
Yeah, burn it safely. Yeah, and so these ways of working in energy that are light, they're not spells. They're light uses of energy clearing and connecting more instead of connecting less.
Sarah, do you, now I know you go around Portland a lot and do a lot of training and classes and stuff there, but do you actually go to like other parts of, say, the United States? If somebody has, say they're having a seminar and they want somebody like yourself coming, would you actually go there in order
to
do a seminar?
Okay. Yeah, I've been to Colorado, Hawaii, Washington, California. I just need to schedule it, make sure that I'm around for the actual kids I have, too. So, yeah, definitely.
Now, one more time, give out the name of your book, where they can get it, and your website.
chapter. It's Your Psychic Child and also Writing the Divine, my first book. And they can get it at www.sarahweisman.com, along with information on everything else that I can offer to folks to help them along.
Do you have like a newsletter that you send out?
Yeah, if you go to my website, you can click and you'll be added to the newsletter list, and that's pretty regularly, a couple times a month.
Okay, and then if they sign up for that newsletter, they get a free ebook?
A free ebook and I think a song download too.
Yeah, so people know that because everybody likes freebies here.
Yeah.
So this
would
be a chance to get some freebies here and some downloads
right.
Because the music's really good. Okay, it's really good. And if somebody wanted to have an intuitive reading with you, how long are your readings, Sarah?
They're an hour, and they'd probably be by phone unless you lived in Oregon, and then we could talk about doing in person. And that's all on my website, too, the information there.
Okay, so, and your radio show is going to be starting in September, but it hasn't started yet. And so give that out, again, that information.
That's a Contact Talk Radio, and the show is called Ask Sarah with Sarah Weisman, and it'll be teaching about intuition, talking about just everything, not just for parents, it's for everyone, and then also I'm going to have live callers and do free readings on the air. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Are you going to have other guests on the show with you?
You know, I don't think I will because I have so much teaching, and I'm going to have music, and I'm going to have some other audio stuff. I don't think I'm going to have time, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But at this point, it's just going to be me and the listeners, and kind of trying to spread information, almost like intuitive training sessions on the air, answering questions about what people need to know.
Okay, that's great. Do you know what day and time it's going to be on?
Yeah, it's I think it's September 3rd, and it's 11 o'clock Pacific on Fridays.
Is that AM or PM?
AM. That's a great way to start your kind of weekend. Well, you're at work kind of goofing off because it's Friday. You can call in and listen to the show.
And if somebody's in the Portland area, there are upcoming events where you do your readings and your trainings, and they can also get that on your website too, right?
Yeah. I'm going to be at a couple different conferences upcoming this fall in Portland area. So then I'll be traveling next year, but I'm not sure where yet. But I would love to be invited to come to somebody's store or retreat center or whatever people, just email me.
Just email. Now, do you want to give out your email address?
Oh, sure. It's Sarah, S-A-R-A, at sarahweisman.com.
And Weisman is W-I-S-E-M-A-N.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, that's right.
Okay, because people spell it differently, so we want to make sure they get to you and they get to find you.
So true.
Sarah, it's been great having you on the show, and it's great that you wrote the book. I really think anybody and everybody who has children, grandchildren, or just for their own good, really should pick up Your Psychic Child and get that child inside yourself to know what you've been going through and maybe don't have answers for, but the book will explain it, so it's pretty good. So thank you for spending the time.
Oh, Nancy, thanks for having me, and best of luck to you with all your school and all the projects that you're doing, too.
Oh, it'll be fine. And good luck with your radio show. Let me know how it goes, okay?
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
All right, you take care. Have a great week. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Pick up Sarah's book, Your Psychic Child, and go onto her website and learn some of the things that you may be experiencing and not quite have answers for. So take care, and we'll talk later. Bye now.